Hello, welcome to Refreshing Truth, the weekly podcast for River of Life Lutheran Church here in Goodyear, Arizona. My name is Pastor Lincoln Albrecht, and God's word for our consideration is from 1 John chapter 3. Begin reading the first three verses now. See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know Him. Dear friends, now we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known, but we know that when Christ appears, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. All who have this hope in Him purify themselves, just as He is pure. This is the word of our God. To you who have been called children of God, who are loved in God the Father and kept for Jesus Christ, mercy, peace, and love are yours in abundance. Amen. And the name on that is? It's a strange thing to be asked for your name when all you want is a black coffee. But time and again, I've been asked this question, what name should we put on that? It's not just a coffee thing. Most places, when you order at the counter, will ask you for your name. Part of it's because of all the technology available in tablets. It's easier to input a name, and the service industry recognizes that you're far more likely to respond to your name than a number that's assigned to you. Once you give them your name, you are, however, at the mercy of whoever is checking you out to try and make sense of how to spell your name. Now, my name, Lincoln, might not be run of the mill, but I don't think it's particularly exotic or difficult to spell. Yet you would never know that when I go to grab my cup of coffee. L-I-N-K-I-N. L-I-N-C-H-O-N. And a whole host of other spellings. It doesn't matter if I tell them it's like the car or the president or the capital of Nebraska. More than half the time, I know that I'm going to get some creative and I guess phonetic spelling of my first name. When it's a cup of coffee, it's not a big deal. You can laugh at it. It's not so funny when you get called sir or ma'am for the first time. Or when somebody addresses you by Mr. or Mrs. and uses your last name. Initially, you might think they're looking for your dad or your mom or maybe your mother-in-law. Really anyone but you. Then you realize that they're referring to you, even if that's not who you think of when you hear that name or that word. What you are called is really important in shaping your identity. Of course, it doesn't create or establish your identity. Somebody can call you by the wrong name, and it doesn't change who you actually are. And you can think that a title like Mr. or Mrs. or Sir or Ma'am doesn't apply to you when it really does. You see, your identity is neither self-determined nor is it dictated solely by the people around you. Nevertheless, your identity is really important, and it's not just important to you, it's also important to your God. Did you notice what a big deal God makes of your identity in these three verses? Twice, John says clearly, we are children of God. Two other times, he hints at it by saying, and that is what we are. And also, when Christ appears, we shall be like him. Now, many of us are encouraged to receive such an honor. Some of us might wonder if God has the wrong person. Like, maybe this is one of those cases of mistaken identity, but it's not. We should be called children of God because that is what we are. Even though sometimes we don't behave like that, even though sometimes we don't believe that, we are children of God because of God. So what does it mean to be a child of God? We could look to our catechism and see that calling God our God means that we should fear, love, and trust in Him above all things. That would be a great place to start. But even more simply, being a child of God means that love for God the Father is in us. That's more than an emotional thing. More than just an occasional acknowledgement. We might claim that love for God the Father is in us, but John tells us what that looks like. It means that we do not love the world or anything in it as much or more than we love God our Father. And it's when we compare our love to this standard that we see how our love runs as shockingly cold as the desert can be at night. When we experience some unexpected financial windfall, it's amazing that instead of thanking God through the means by which he blessed us, we get possessive and indulgent. When we're flush with new blessings, it's amazing how often, like those 10 lepers that Jesus healed, we forget to thank and praise God. When our calendars are filled with activities and appointments, it's amazing how our spiritual matters, how often spiritual matters get put on the back burner. When our relationships are flourishing and the future looks bright, it's amazing how much credit we take for that and how little we give to the one who has numbered our days and planned our eternity. When life is going really good, we don't do such a good job of living like love for God the Father dwells in us. But the truth is, when things are going bad, we don't do much better either. When we're stuck living on a shoestring budget, our first instinct is to grow anxious, even grumble against God, rather than thanking him for being faithful to his promise to give us our daily bread. When our calendars are full, we tend to complain about our busyness. We say, hey, you know, I don't even have time to catch my breath or rest. We have the gall to neglect the rest that God provides for us in his word and in his house among his people. When some health issue has us sitting on the sidelines of life, unable to do so many of the things that we love, we're quick to complain rather than explore how these new chains fit God's unique calling for our life. When our relationships are strained, we tend to criticize the people around us instead of looking for ways to build them up. When our futures look bleak, we lament how life's not fair instead of seeing the radiant glory that God is bringing us closer to. When life is going really good, we don't do such a good job of living like love for God dwells in us. But the truth is, when things are going really bad, we don't do much better either. Yet we really are children of God. And it's not because we've earned this title. It's not because we've done enough to keep ourselves in God's good graces. We are children of God because God made himself our Father, our Savior, and our Sanctifier. That is what John highlights here. He says, "See what great love the Father has lavished upon us, that we should be called children of God." He's telling you to behold what God's love moved him to be and do for you. As your good and perfect Father, your God is more concerned with your future than your present. God is more interested in you living a pure and decent life than one filled with pleasures and delights. As a good Father, God is more concerned with your holiness than your happiness. He's more devoted to his perfect plans for your life than your own bucket list. That is why, as a good Father, God will not shy away from disciplining you. To spare you that would be to despise you. So very often when you live as if you don't really need him or his wise word, when you act as if all he's good for is blessings and nothing more, he will allow you a glimpse of what life without him looks and feels like. I once heard a wise Christian whom God taught this particular way say, "God is a gentleman. He lets people who insist on having things their own way have it. But God is also merciful." After we have come to see that we have been deceiving ourselves by thinking our way is better than God's, when we confess the error of that kind of thinking and living, God remains faithful. Just like that father in the parable of the prodigal son, God is watching and scanning the horizon. When he sees humble hearts, he runs to us and forgives us our sins. He reminds us that what we are now, what he made us from the start to be, his beloved children. But in order for us to really be children of God, even God had to do something more than just declare it. Even though that's how he made so much of the world in which we live, in order to make his enemies his children, to make the dead alive, to make the blind see eternally, God had to make his lavish love visible, tangible, and sacrificial. That is why God sent his Son into the world, so that we might see what great love the Father has lavished on us. You see, to know God's lavish love, we must know him. To know what we will be made like, we must know how and why he appeared. We must know, in short, Christ. Jesus is the one who is pure in thought, word, and deed. Love for the Father shaped his every thought. It inspired his every word. It directed his every deed. Despite all his purity and love, the world he made still did not recognize him. Even though they were given countless glimpses of his power and mercy, his wisdom and his sacrificial love, they loved the things of this world and its darkness more. And they hated him without reason. This is why they crucified him. But even in his death, Jesus was standing in our place, sacrificing his holy, innocent blood to purify us and make us his own children. And when he rose from the dead, he declared us to be just that. He promised that one day we'd be like him. One day we and all the saints in heaven will be transformed fully and finally. Yes, we will be transformed physically and outwardly. But just as importantly, we will be glorified spiritually and inwardly. The renewal that God has begun in us now will be complete. We will no longer struggle with sin. Until that day, when Christ appears, we live with this clear hope that we are sinner saints. We have been purified by Christ, but the battle against the sinful nature hasn't ceased. So we strive to live up to what God calls us, to be a child of God. So what does a child of God look like and do? Well, children of God rejoice in opportunities to show their God-generated generosity and gratitude. Children of God praise God continually in good days and bad. Children of God scour their schedules for the good deeds that God has prepared in advance for them to do, even if it's not something they're looking forward to. Children of God trust that when they're hard-pressed on every side, that God is still with them, holding them together. Children of God recognize what a special privilege this lavish love from God is, and it's not just for us. It's for all sinners. Christ died to atone for our sins, and not only for ours, but also for the sins of the whole world. It's critical that we understand this, because we live in a world that has a lot of identity issues right now. People see themselves as colors: red, blue, rainbow. They think of themselves in terms of directions: right, left. They even describe themselves in ways that are harder for us to wrap our minds around, like different genders and pronouns that may completely baffle us. Can't you see that they've placed their hope in the things of this world? They've loved this world's princes, values, ideologies, and philosophies. They see these things as the only hope they have for the future. And when we press against this, even when we're right, we must remember what it's like for somebody to call us sir or ma'am before we're ready. It hurts. It's eye-opening, even if it's true. So we must be patient and kind and lavish the same love that we have received as a child of God. As a child of God, we may open their eyes by God's word to see a greater hope and a greater love. God may use us to help those who have put their trust in princes and finances, to show them who the Prince of Peace is and what treasure he has stored up for them in heaven. May we help those who are deeply unhappy with how they were born to see that the flesh cannot generate anything good or eternal. Only the Spirit can give birth to Spirit. And God does that. He purifies us through the waters of baptism and puts his name on us so that we might be his own beloved children. And that is what we are, only because of the lavish love of God. Amen. Thank you for listening to this week's episode of Refreshing Truth, the weekly podcast for River of Life Lutheran Church here in Goodyear, Arizona. My name once again is Pastor Lincoln Albrecht. I won't ask you to spell it, but it's been a privilege and a pleasure to proclaim God's word to you, to assure you that you are a child of God, not because of who you are, not because of what you've done, but because of God's lavish love. If you'd like to learn more about God's lavish love for you, for me, for all sinners, I invite you to visit our website at azriveroflife.com. There you'll find an opportunity to connect with me personally, to learn more about God's love for you, and also to join us for public worship services on Sunday at 9 a.m. That website, again, is azriveroflife.com. May God continue to bless and keep you in his tender care.